Nailor Beauty School was just the beginning, right? What on earth do you do now? Welcome to the Salon Success Podcast with Monaco Nail Academy. Our topics stretch beyond nails and into all things salon related, business, marketing, and social media, and at the very least hits you with real, honest stories about our experiences. This isn't school, this is real life, real business, and really freaking hard work. Before we get started, wherever you are, thumbs up, tag a friend in the comments, or hit that share button and support small business. Hey guys, it's Penny here from Monaco Nail Academy, and today I'm joined by Bailey
Hey.
and Catherine.
Hi, everyone.
And we're going to be talking about word of mouth marketing and the type of incentives that you can potentially do to get word of mouth for free.
And just a reminder before we get started, you can use my code Bailey for 10% off all courses. I get a kickback from these enrollments, and they're how we support the production of the podcast. Catherine, you've also got an affiliate code?
My code's Catherine, spelled Kathryn.
So before we get stuck into this week's new topic, let's do a quick recap of what we chatted about last week. Catherine, can you fill us in?
So last week we spoke about client lateness and what policies we do or don't have in place, how we avoid it, and how we tackle it. It was super juicy, I think, and like fascinating hearing some of the stories that the other gals had. Yeah, and nice, I think, to hear that I'm not the only one that feels like sometimes clients think we're just nail painting robots that don't have a life. So yeah, nice to relate. To other people in industry that are going through the same thing. And yeah, what did
And
you
then,
think, Bailey?
yeah, I definitely, it's nice when you hear other people having like similar stories with people. It's something that we used to do many moons ago when I like worked retail as well as all of the shop staff. We get together on like a Friday and have drinks, and we would just talk about the awful customers that we had that week. And it was just funny, like story sharing, because it makes you feel not so like I'm the only person this is happening to. It does happen to other people, regardless of how long they've been in the industry as well.
And from clients that are late to getting some more who could be late, let's talk about word of mouth marketing. So in terms of what I want to cover today is more about the ways that you can incentivize word of mouth so that you are getting good value for money. With your word of mouth marketing, there's just a really big difference between like paying for an influencer to promote your salon or incentivizing word of mouth. Like, let's start with the latter because I firmly believe word of mouth should be free. We're going to talk about a lot of ways to encourage it for free in a minute, but I know lots of people wonder about incentivizing it. So, although I don't necessarily think you should, as a general rule, to skip over it and just say don't would be a disservice to you. And I think a lot of people would tune out. So let's chat. For clarification, when I'm referring to incentivizing word of mouth, I'm referring to referral offers. Like when an existing client refers a friend to you and you compensate them with a discount or a voucher. The most common referral incentive I hear people giving their clients is like, $5 or $10 off their next service, or 10% off their next service. Like, there are some more generous offers, but that tends to be the most common. Like, refer a friend and get 10% off your next service. The thing is, though, and I'm saying this without knowing what Bailey or Catherine's incentives are, if they have any, but 10% or below is not enough to get someone excited or invested in your business. What is really in it for them? 10% of a gel polish manicure might be $5. As a client, I may very well tell everyone I know to book in with your salon, but it is not because I want $5. If I can afford to pay $50 to get my nails done, I'm not desperate for that fiver. I'll probably put it towards my next set of nails, which I was going to pay for anyway. And then it just disappears into the ether as a faded memory. In a month, I see a sign promoting 10% off for referrals, and I say, did I get that last time? And shrug it off because I don't even really remember it happening. Meanwhile, you, as the salon owner, lost $5, and that $5 would have bought a box of cereal or a loaf of bread. And it actually does add up to making a real difference in your life over time. Can you tell I'm very passionate about this topic?
Just like a smidge or whatever.
Just a wee bit.
Have you ever, like, obviously you don't believe in it, have you ever offered any kind of incentivized word of mouth brain fart doing putting the words together, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100% I have. I used to have on the back of my business cards, and I can't remember exactly what the wording was, but like on the back of a business card was like, present this card at your first appointment, and both you and blank will get 10% off. And the idea was like, my regular client, Sarah, might take a card, fill in Sarah, and then hand it to her friend Joanne. When Joanne comes for her appointment, she hands the card. They both get 10% off. Joanne as an incentive to come, Sarah as a thank you for referring her. But that was a very long time ago, and I definitely like Sarah was going to refer Joanne anyway, and Joanne did not book because she got 10% off. It's just
Yeah,
throwing
but
away
because her
money that
friend
you were
referred her.
going to get.
Yeah.
I think the other thing is like, if I am the client, if I'm the Sarah, I have a reputation to uphold. Like, if you and your salon suck, I'm not telling my friends to go there for $50, let alone 5 or 10. Like, if I tell them to go to you and then you suck, they will never trust my recommendations again, or they'll think I have bad taste. They might be annoyed that I referred them to someone who was a waste of money. Like, if I am the client, I'm only telling people you're good if you're actually good. So personally, I think that you are better off not focusing on giving the client $5, but taking that $5. If you really have that $5 per client spare, put it into your one-ups and making you your salon and the client experience even better so that they're more likely to just go and tell people without you having to give them money that they weren't going to remember.
Yeah, I've personally never done any kind of affiliate referral marketing with clients. I don't know, not that I ever it ever crossed my mind that it was necessarily a bad thing or something which wouldn't bring some value, but it just didn't ever really align with me. And I think I probably subconsciously had that same thought process of, if I do a good job, these people would want to refer me anyway. And I've had that from like one of my clients who's also a really good friend of mine. She was like, oh, like get comments at work all the time about how great my nails are. And they asked me like who does them. But I just thought I would check with you whether you were like wanting to take on any new clients at the moment. I'm like, oh, you can like always let them know what my handle is. And if I have availability at any time, like I can let them know if they reach out to me, but like nice to hear that, you know, your colleagues like your nails, but not that like I felt like I had to give her some kind of incentive to pass on to them in order to get them in my chair.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that like they were like a paid affiliate or anything, but I have worked with an influencer before. So I'm partnered with a business called RTRC, which is run by TJ Pettinella, and a couple of his mates. And the way it works is that you supply them with a deal. It's kind of like the digital version of the old school entertainment books. So you supply them with a deal, and their members have to pay them to be a member with RTRC, but that will give them access to the deal that you've provided the business. The cool thing about that, though, is that you get access to like all of their customers and stuff. And like they've come into the salon a couple of times, and like I've given them facials and they've made content about it and stuff like that. But I think that's like the only kind of influencer affiliate type thing I've ever done before.
I think like if people are really committed to the idea of incentivizing referrals, just use like an incentive as part of a campaign, not like a lifetime thing. Like if you first work out the lifetime value of a client, like it's often around $1,500 a year for a regular manicure client. Knowing the lifetime value helps you get perspective on what you're willing to pay to get that client. Like a $5 referral fee is nothing compared to $1,500 over a year of having a client. So what would you be willing to trade for $1,500? Like that's significant in a much different train of thought. For me, what I think is a better way of doing referral incentives, rather than having an ongoing all the time incentive like a $5 referral fee, is once every few months, send an email or a text campaign to my like hot customers, the ones that book, and say something along the lines of like, for the month of February, we're selling 3 appointment bundles for 10% off. That's 3 appointments for this much instead of this much, but only when you book and pay for them all at once. For every new client that you refer to us who buys that bundle, you will earn a completely free manicure. Like a bundle ensures that the newbie is committed. They're more likely to come back once they use up their 3 appointments. You get a decent cash injection to compensate for the freebie that you're doing. The entire offer, the free manicure and the 10% combined, is equivalent to 32.5% discount on all 4 appointments, like the 3 for the newbies and the 1 for the referrer. Like it works out to 32% off those 4 appointments. That is high for a marketing spend. Like we talk about aiming for 10%, but if you're good, you'll keep both clients and then the average discount dwindles every time they rebook. But like the thing is though, that entirely free manicure is a big deal to your existing client. It significantly changes their budget. And they will say to a friend who they had already talked to about you, there's a promo this month. If you go for it, I get a free manicure. So, like, it's just way more incentive to actually convert someone that they were already talking to. No one is going to convert for 10% or $5, but like something more significant, you need to get them to convert to something more significant, like a 3 appointment bundle, but they're also more likely to do the converting for you. If you really want to keep the marketing spend low instead of a free service, you could give them like a $50 gift bag, which has the same value, but you can get donated or sponsored products from other local businesses to like bring the price down while still making the value the exactly the same. But like,
Or it can be a $50 value, but that's retail price. That's not what you pay for those products.
exactly.
I think like that's a really good way to do it, not only for having that the new person is getting in your chair 3 times before deciding if they stay or don't, but that it's a good reward for, like you said, hot clients, those ones who are booking. You know that they're bringing you in that $1,500 a year because they are regulars, they're consistent. It's not going to someone randomly finding your, oh, if I bring a friend, we both get 10% off. It's someone who's consistently coming back anyway, just getting a little bit of a reward, like for that loyalty as well, combined with bringing someone else new in for you.
I don't know about you guys, but do you guys ask for reviews on the likes of Google or Facebook and like as a way to get people talking about you?
I should, but I don't, mostly because I do my Instagram, but I don't do Facebook.
Yeah.
And so without, I guess, Facebook's easy to do the review thing, or otherwise being more established online with a website, then I would go down the Google review track. So it's definitely something that I would look for if I was starting to establish myself in a more consistent, regular time slots with people, but I do definitely like screenshot some comments on Instagram that I think are really good. Like if I always tag clients in their set when I post them, and like sometimes you get some really nice comments from clients on their set for the week or for the fortnight or whatever.
Or
That I
like
think,
resharing if they send you a message saying, "Oh, I love my nails," or
yeah, just to like store away, even just to have if you like don't have content that you want to post from that you're like prepared with. Maybe it's because over a certain period you're having a shutdown time because you're taking some time off, which we all should, and just because we don't get paid annual leave as sole traders, we should still be making sure we take our time off. But just to have those sort of there as like content reserves as well.
I don't ask for reviews specifically. However, we use Fresher, and Fresher has an automated message setting where it will message a client after their appointment and ask them to do a review on Fresher. So I probably should find a way of doing Google or Facebook or whatever as well, but all of our clients are already being asked for reviews via Fresher. Any that come with a blurb thing, like that, not just the star rating, but like they write something, I screenshot those and turn them into social media posts. So like that's the main, I'm getting reviews, it's just not on Google. And like Google is probably a real good, like Google's way better to put them on than Facebook right now with the current like patterns and algorithms and stuff like that. But I definitely I don't ask for them on Google. That's probably the one shortfall. We do ask for them within Monaco, and that's really interesting because we have at the end of every single module, like, please go in, do this, and put a review here, and put a review here, and fill out the survey, and like, not too overwhelming, but like, we ask for it at the end of every module, and also post once a month in the student Facebook group asking the same thing. And from those, no one ever does it. But in the 6-week challenge, we made it a one of the daily tasks to put a review. And then we got so many incredible reviews from that, which were incentivized by all they got was challenge points. Like they weren't getting anything like specific for having done the review, but people put so much effort, and there was no, the points weren't proportionate to like how good the review was. Like everybody just got an arbitrary number of points, but people really put effort into their reviews. So I have those screenshotted and I just stockpiled all of those. But you could still apply that to a salon by doing like, I don't know, some sort of like incentivize, like a giveaway or a goodie bag or something for everybody that left a review in the month.
I have seen people do that monthly. Like, there's a monthly goodie bag, and it's just like luck of the draw from every review from that month. And so, it's just something small. It might be like for a salon's instance, say a cuticle oil, a nail file, something like quite little, maybe even like a lotion thrown in there. And you can switch it up month to month. Maybe like some months you might have a slightly higher value. And you don't even have to say what's in it. It's just like, oh, a little gift bag valued at insert blank dollar amount here. And yeah, I've definitely seen that done. Not only I've seen it done from salons, but I've actually seen it being done from a few businesses lately where, yeah, you go into a draw to win a little gift bag for any review left in that month. And it's just something they refresh monthly. So it's encouraging. If you get new clients come in month after month, that you're getting those new reviews in there as well.
Before we continue on with the podcast, we just want to take a quick ad break to talk about the individual modules that we offer. And so we have nail tech training modules covering basically every system around. There's manis and pedis, dipping systems, builder in a bottle, acrylic, hard gel, poly gel, E-file, IBX, I don't know, there's 12 of them, there's lots, and you can do them one at a time or all at once as part of the foundation certificate in nail technology. But you can do those whether you're a newbie or you're advanced. If you're already qualified, you can still enroll in them and still use them as an upskilling tool. We just adjust them for the knowledge that you already have. So you can find those by heading to our website, www.monaco.ac.nz, and of course, use our wonderful podcast hosts' affiliate codes. Bailey, yours is?
Mine is Bailey.
Very hard to remember. Catherine, yours is?
Mine's Catherine, spelled Kathryn.
Thank you for challenging us slightly.
K-A-T-H-R-Y-N.
When it comes to paying for word of mouth, either from influencer posts or affiliate link commissions, speaking of, I would say in that scenario, we also go back to lifetime value and overall marketing budget. Like when we teach budgeting in amongst our salon success lessons, we talk about deciding on a percentage that you're happy with or a set amount that reflects a percentage of your expected future revenue. So if you need some help working that out, jump into some of our lessons, but otherwise have that idea of lifetime value of a client and think how much of your marketing budget are you willing to spend on influencers? Bearing in mind that with most influencers, their followers won't actually all be local to you. If you can find someone who is local and has a majority local following, grab them with both hands and never let them go. But in the instance that their followers aren't local, how much are they worth to you? Or is this becoming a likes as a vanity metric kind of thing, to throw back to one of our previous episodes? I used to have quite a lot of success with some New Zealand influencers who were Auckland based. I was Auckland based as well, and they had a large enough Auckland following to make it worth it. But I never actually paid for promotion. I only ever found people who were willing to trade nails for promo. The other thing I'd recommend is grabbing influencers while they're new and growing, because an influencer doesn't have to have 100,000 followers to be valuable to you. Like 2,000 or 3,000 followers who are mostly local and actively engaged on all posts is worth way more. Chances are, like, if you grab them while they're kind of new, you'll be one of the first brands to approach them and they'll be really excited about getting free nails or have lower media rates. And then they're like, way more loyal to you. Like, usually, a lot of the influencers who have a nail tech when they're growing stay super loyal and like keep pumping that nail tech out to their followers, even when they have heaps and heaps more.
I can't recall if it was. I think it was a salon success topic, but where you talked about doing nails, sometimes free nails, on not necessarily an influencer, but like a local influencer out of the digital space. And I think like that's probably tapping more into, hey, this is actually going to be highlighting nails to people in your area. If you work in a salon where you have hairdressers as well, like, trading services and that sort of thing is better return on investment.
Yeah, that's the Queen Bee's lesson. Finding your community queen bees and working with them as like pseudo influencers.
I'm really lucky because I work in a co-working space. We quite often will trade services, so like I haven't paid to have my hair done, for example, for a really long time now. But every time I have they do one of them does my hair, I'll give them like free nails or something like that. And it's really good because that way I'm then tapping into their client base because people will see their nails in their hands quite often, or they'll get talking about if I've given a facial, for example, or things like that. They get talking to all their clients as they're working throughout the day, and they get steered my way, and then vice versa, obviously, as well. There's often always, like, I think, other, like Penny said, queen bees in the community that would be more than willing to trade services and things like that. It's kind of the beauty of our industry.
I think like with affiliates and stuff, or like whatever you want to call the just in general word of mouth incentives. Like, I just think overall, remember the budget you already set and stick to it. Like, have a marketing budget, stay within it, and don't be tempted by like the magpie effect of someone who you look up to being interested in you. Remember the budget you set, carefully plan how you will spend it, and incorporate influences and referral incentives into that plan. Like, I think remembering the lifetime value of the clients you're aiming to get and respecting the time and energy of the people who are doing your marketing for you is really important. Like, while you're new, you can work for free while you have the time to do it. Like, I don't think there's any harm in essentially working for free inside your set hours. If you're like, I'm going to work 20 hours a week, but at the start, you're only booked for three, work for free for Queen Bees, not for just anybody. Like, but work for free for the people who could help you grow your business. And then the second that that freebie is taking a space you could have been paid for, you stop. But like, you have ways of getting, especially when you're like, oh, but I have no clients, which is like what a lot of people say to us. Oh, but I don't know, there's just no clients. Well, then you must have a lot of spare time in which to be doing your marketing.
Especially because when you're doing nails, like that means that you then have something physical to take a photo of to create content, which is going to attract people, hopefully, if you do it right, attract people to you as well. Whereas if there are no bums in seats, there's no photos, which means that there's no content or advertising for you, to show people why they should be coming to you, if like in the beginning when things are quite quiet.
Yeah.
And that's where like the additional courses are really valuable. And I think some people might go through and even do the full foundation certificate, but there is also Sell and Success. There is also the Art of Nails, really, really valuable add-on courses that you can be using that 20 hours a week or 30 hours a week that you want bums in chairs and don't have them there yet, to be focusing on your upskilling, focusing on these additional things that can help to build your business, whether it be the business part with Sell and Success or even the Art of Nails and working through those modules, doing them on Swatch Sticks, getting yourself that content to be uploading, if that's what it takes for you to get to that point of, okay, cool, I feel like I'm building up my confidence on that side of things, and now I feel comfortable offering my services to a queen bee for free to be able to do their nails, if that's what it takes to like get you to that confidence point of being like, hey, I'd really love to do this for you. Is this something you'd be interested in? And you know, like having that like confidence and backing to like sell it as you're doing them a favor. Like obviously it's a tit for tat, like they're going to be helping you out by spreading the word, but you're approaching them with a, I'd be really keen to do this for you for free. And they feel like they're getting some a really good deal out of it.
Yeah, totally agree. And I just think like you just need to be clever and not be swept up. Like, that's, I think, my number one takeaway is like you just need to not get swept up in keeping people happy and just be smart with your budget and your money and what you're getting out of it. Because I think for sure there was a few times where I was like, I'm just going to do this for this person because they're fancy. Insert whatever definition of that you want. And then it was never necessarily worth the actual time and effort and money. And then I got smarter and learned to like weigh it up and only do what was actually valuable to me and them. Final thoughts, ladies, before we wrap this up, what's your number one takeaway or advice?
Have an advertising or marketing budget and stick to it, without devaluing yourself too much as well.
Setting yourself time that is going to be your regular business hours, and if you're not got bums and chairs in that time, then you've got time to be doing these additional marketing options to A, fill that time, B, get content, and C, convert that into bums and chairs.
100%. And with that done and dusted, before you guys disappear, like our page or follow the podcast so that you don't miss the next episode. We'll be back next week with what are we doing next week?
Next week, we're going to be talking about location, home salon pros and cons.
Ooh, that's a good one because I have had home salon, I've had commercial salon, I've done mobile work. That should be a really fun one to weigh up.
Oh yeah, mobile work's always an interesting one to throw in.
Well, you definitely will not want to miss some heated opinions on mobile work. We'll try and get a variety of them for you. But until then, check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Monaco Nail Academy or follow our salons. Mine is Hardlacquer NZ, Catherine.
Mine's Praise Beauty NZ.
And Bailey.
And mine is Bailey Janet Nails.
Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.